Smiling, but I hope it's a good thing.
My grandson tried to pull you down the aisle.
Who did?
Your grandson.
Oh, okay. I'm okay with that. I'm like, what's going on? So, anyway, let's go ahead and let the musicians go over their seats. Amen. Maybe that's a foresight of things to come.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you, and it's good to good time. It's good to love one another.
Yeah.
Man, that's awesome.
Yes.
I'd hate to be going to church with people I didn't like. You know? And the Lord would too. He wouldn't like that either. So, but we are a blessed people. We know that.
Yes.
We're thankful. I hope I didn't scare everybody with the table being set up front. People probably walked in and went, oh no, are we having communion? I didn't know. No, that's for illustration purposes this morning. Only, but maybe it'd be good to surprise everybody with communion time sometime.
Yeah.
If you're like me, you'd probably go, did I wash my feet this morning? That might be a good test to see just how much we want to humble ourselves if people came with dirty feet to see if they really, amen, and so it's good to be with you. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles. We're going to open to Matthew 4:4. Just a rather short scriptures reading this morning. Thank the Lord for his healing. Been a rough week for a lot of us. But we're just so thankful to be in the house of the Lord and be able to come here. I think, like I agree with Brother Tim, I've had enough snow for, I'm done, you know. We don't normally get 10 inches of snow here. We might get 3 or 4 normally. But so Yeah, that's enough to do us for several years as far as I'm concerned. It's fun to play in, but that's about it. And it's beautiful to look at, too. Beautiful but deadly. Amen. Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If she goes to Luke 4:4, surprisingly, that's the same scripture. Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Now I want to go to Revelation 18, chapter 18, verse 1 through 6. These are all scriptures we're very familiar with. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations, not just some, but all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquity. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. Thank you for truth. We thank you for this day, this place, this people gathered together. Gathered here in your name. Feel your presence come in, Lord, as each one comes. We just want to thank you for that. And Lord, this morning we just give you this service and ask God that you'd speak to our hearts, each one. Lord, may we go today and say that it was good to be in the house of the Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. One title of this today is just the title that Brother Brandon used one time, not to try and copy off of Henry Moon, but the title is, there is only one way provided by God for anything. Amen. And so I just want to kind of go down that thought for a little bit. We read here in the scripture where Jesus said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And well, you know, we live in this world, but to me, this right here is not necessarily just speaking about the way we live in this world, but this is speaking about how we will live eternally. Mm-hmm. That if we will ever live eternally, it will be because we are living by every word of God.
Right.
And so we know that. And so Brother Daniel mentioned the other night about dispensing. And you know, like in Ephesians, it talks about God dispensing out in the fullness of the dispensation of time that God would measure out. So it's like Brother Daniel mentioned the other night, a soap dispenser. Every time you push that soap dispenser, a certain measured amount comes out, and there's only so many that will come out until the container's empty. And we know that there were seven church ages, and so in the fullness of the dispensation of time, when God gets through squirting out every age, there's only seven of them. When he's done, then he's going to gather together everyone in Christ Jesus, both those who have gone on in heaven and those who are still here in earth.
Right.
And so we know God is able to dispense out his word. There is, God has word for every age.
Right.
Right? He doesn't take back something from previous ages, but he knows how to administer out the word for a given day for a people. And so we realize from this that every word of God has a place, every word of God has a purpose, has a place in history, has a purpose for that, and there's an outcome with it. There is an outcome for the word of God. And so we would say that, looking at all that, then we could ask this question, then what portion of God's word is okay to leave it out and still be okay? Mm-hmm. And we, you know, Brother Branham, this is such a theme. We know his theme was Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. But a theme of the prophet, you know, back to the word, the theme was there that all it took was one word taken out caused the death of all humanity. And this scripture tells us it will take every word to get us in there.
Right.
Right? And so there's no portion. And so no portion of any word that could be taken out would be okay. And there's also, there would also mean that there's no portion of any of God's word that has to be updated.
Right.
We understand that. And so the spoken word can create anything it wants to. It's not limited. But the key there is that it will create anything it wants to. Because it comes from a character, and that character is God's character. Right. It's only the nature and character of God. He's the only one that's a creator. And so therefore, it's only from that source that the spoken word can create. And so you know that when it creates, it's going to create something that comes from the very core nature of God. And so, but then, so it'll never be contrary to his own desires.
Right.
Right? So it can speak whatever it wants to, create whatever it wants to there, and so because it comes from the nature of God. And so because God is infinite, we understand that. He's not limited. He's infinite, he's omnipotent, he's omniscient, he's all-knowing. Because of that, he doesn't need to create more than one way for anything.
Yeah.
Because he is who he is, he doesn't need to create but one way for any given thing.
Yeah.
Right? Because he doesn't make multiple ways. Uh-huh. And because in order to try and say that, well, God, well, he said this, but this way is also, and he'll accept that. That would degrade from the character and the nature and the credentials of God.
Yeah. Right.
His credentials says he's the only creator. He makes no mistakes. He doesn't have to back up on anything. What he says to begin with is right, and it'll never have to be updated. So any idea, any doctrine, any system, whatever it might be, you name it, any angel, spirit, whatever, movement that comes along and just even in the slightest way pulls away and says, well, you know, here's another way. That's to take away from God. That's to take away from his credentials. I don't want to do that. That's why I keep saying, let's don't pull God down and make him limited to us. Let's let him be God.
Right.
Let's let him be infinite.
Amen.
Let's let him be all powerful, omnipotent. Let's unleash those characteristics of God in our lives. Let's ascribe to our experiences that we are under the tutorship and the leadership of that kind of being.
Yeah.
Right.
Let that be who we are walking in before as. The words were coming the other day to me, walk before me. Yeah, walk before God. Yeah, we walk before man in all his ways, and them, oh, and they criticize and try to make you out to be a hypocrite or something like that, and misunderstanding all that. Walk before God. Because he knows.
Right.
See, we're not going to fool him.
No.
So walk before him. And so he doesn't have to make multiple ways. There's only one way is good enough for him, and it never has to be updated. And so, like I said, to say that there's more than one way to diminish from his credentials. So, you know, how many did it take in the days of Moses to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Took one. Moses.
Right.
Right? As the prophet said so many times, you know, I believe God sent this message to us for a reason, and I believe it says things to us for a reason.
Sure.
That those things add to our experience so we can believe more and greater. And so, like so many times the prophet said, that all it takes is one man in the hand of God. That's all it takes. One man in the hand of God, totally surrendered to him, can change the entire planet. He did it. Many times he's done it. It only took one Moses. It only took one Jesus. It only took one Apostle Paul.
Right?
And so I'm a firm believer that if I can see it in this word, and God does something in his word, then I know what to expect in my day.
Yeah. Right.
That if God can take one man and change everything by that one man, surrender to him in the Bible many times, then I can say and know that God can and does the same thing in our day.
Right.
That he can take one man, surrender to him, and by that one man act out things will change the whole scenario of what would be going on. And, you know, several years ago when some of the people believed the sign coming up and people leaving the message and in the discussion with a particular brother and telling me all this stuff, and I said, I want to ask you a question. Was Moses a prophet? He wouldn't answer me. Because he knew what I was fixing to say, because Moses was not a perfect man in himself.
Right?
Right? Moses made mistakes. But the word of the Lord that came through that prophet and what God laid down for history in Israel was perfect.
Right.
Right? He wouldn't answer me. And then my whole point where I wanted to take him was, listen, if God does something in the Bible, you have to be man enough to say, then let him do it again.
Right?
Right? Yeah. I mean, if We all have mistakes, right? If his plan ain't big enough to overcome our mistakes and do something through our lives anyway, then we might as well all go home. Because he can. He does. That's exactly what he's done. So it just only took one man. And so there's only one provided way, God provided way for anything. How to be saved? It's in his word. He tells us. Right? How to be saved? How to baptize correctly? How to dress correctly? How to act correctly? How to treat our fellow brothers and sisters? How to treat people outside of the church? How to conduct business? It's all in there. That's why the prophet come along and he preached doors and doors, because the word of God has right to access every door in your life, because if there's a Bible question, there's an answer. If there's a life question, there's a Bible answer to life. Because we're his creation and this is his word. He teaches us how to raise our families right. He teaches us how to deal with things as things come, hardships and things like that. It's all in the scriptures.
Right.
And so God gave us one way, and that way is his word. And of course, that word was made flesh, that's Jesus Christ. There's one way, and that is through the life that is in Jesus Christ. And if that word is believed, if it's followed, if it's initiated in your life, if you discipline yourself to that, it will do what it says it will do.
Right.
And so, I wanted to use this table out here as a demonstration. Man can't live except by every word. So this, just I put a Bible up here because it's the word of God. This is the way.
Right.
This is the truth. This is the life. We know it's just the Bible representing Jesus Christ. It's Christ in letter form. But that's it. That's the way. That's the way we will live eternally.
Right.
Right there. Every word for every age came right through that right there.
Right.
All right? That's the way. And we believe that, right?
Right.
We believe that is God's way.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no other way.
Right.
And so, why would someone come along if that's it? There is no other way. That's it. Then why would someone come along and try to say there's another way? If anybody would come along and say, well, I know this is the word of God, but, you know, I got this. This right here. Well, why? There's only one way. That's it. So why would somebody come up with some other way and try to sell it to people? Then it's a lie. It's a distraction. It's a diminishing of the character and quality and attributes of God.
Right?
Because he don't need any other ways. He's right to begin with. So anytime something would come along, whether it's a movement or just a spirit trying to speak to you in your own prayer closet, trying to deal with whatever it is, if it's not that, it's wrong. It's a lie. That's God's word. And that's why the scripture said, let every man's word be a lie. God's word is true. That's why I keep saying, if you speak what this speaks, you're speaking God's word. But if you add or take away anything else, then it's not his word anymore. It's yours.
Right.
And it's a lie. Because there's no truth anywhere else except that right there. Christ Jesus, the word of God. And especially a word for our day. This is the way he's provided, and he doesn't need any other way. And we don't either. Just from his word and his word alone. So, if someone comes along and says, well, I've got a different way, or I've got a modified way, I've got an updated way, I got a way it's more modern because, you know, that was written so long ago, so we have to update it. Really? You mean God isn't infinite enough to know how to speak a word that would cover all ages? You see what I'm saying? Oh, we gotta update it, make it more modern. Here's another one. We gotta amplify it. And I say this because I've always felt kind of funny about the Amplified Bible. There's all kinds of Bibles. That's a good study you can do yourself to see the things that modern translations leave out and change. And I can't remember whether I've ever used an Amplified Bible quote or whatever. I hear people do it. I'm not dogmatic about it. But what I'm trying to say is, who said to amplify this portion? Who said to take this scripture and try to amplify it and make it mean? A man did.
Right.
Right? You see what I'm saying? But here's what I'm trying to get to. The Holy Spirit will amplify the word to you as you need it. That's what, when Brother Daniel and I go to, we want to seek the Lord for what he wants us to preach about. And the Lord speaks to us and says, here's what I put on your heart. That's God amplifying that word for that people, this day. He can amplify it day in and day out. That's what a walk with God is that you can have a communication with him. He deals with you and works with you. And so when God speaks it to you out of your prayer closet or out of your scripture reading or sends a minister before you, he's amplifying that he wants you to pay attention to that scripture that day, that sermon that day, that concept that he's trying to get that day. Yeah. Right? And next week, next day might be a little different because it's a living walk.
Right.
And so like I said, I don't have a problem because if a minister is under the leadership of the Lord and he's being led and under that anointing, he reads that scripture in an amplified Bible and it's pleasing to that spirit that's upon, then use it.
Right?
So that's why I said I'm not dogmatic. But in the world out there, just to say, well, we got a Bible that's better because it's been amplified. Amplified by who? Some district presbyter somewhere that says, this is what you're going to preach to your congregation. No, it's the Holy Ghost that's to move in the local church
right. And
speak what he wants spoken.
Right. Yeah.
And so, amen. And so, let the Holy Ghost amplify to us. Amen. Mm-hmm. There is no other way other than the Word of God. It's like the rabies. Brother Daniel was talking about the Komodo or whatever dragon. I started to say Kubota dragon because they have tractors named Kubota. But he's talking about that thing and the biting, you know, and making but you know, like rabies. If you get bit by an animal that has rabies, there's only one cure. I'm talking about outside of God. He can do whatever he can heal, right? But I'm talking about in medicine, there's only one cure. And it's those shots. They call it DEP or something like that, post-exposure prophylaxis or something like that. And you got to get those shots pretty quickly after you have been. And if you catch it quickly, it'll take care of it. But outside of that, it's not good.
Right.
So if I came along and Brother Daniel said, Brother Tony, I got bit by a rabid dog. We tested it. And I said, Brother Daniel, just take an extra dose of vitamin C and take an ibuprofen and go to bed. You'll be fine. Would you believe that? No. You'd say, you're a nutcase. Get out of my living room or wherever it is. You understand what I'm saying? When you know there's only one way, why would we let someone try to convince you there's another way? When you know there's not.
Right.
But see, that's the trickery of the devil. He comes along and he wants to make you think, oh, there is another way. Or, you know, here's that, and this is really that. It's just, we just updated it. Right? So, I heard Brother Brown talking about the rabies, and he's, you know, years ago, used to. If you read it, look it up. They call it folklore. You know, so Brother Branham was just using that as a springboard to say what he wanted to say about it, but he was talking about that. They have had used to what they call a mad rock. And if somebody got bit by rabies, they had this stone, a mad stone, I think is what they call it, but they had this stone and said, just take that stone and, you know, put it on the person, put it over the bite or whatever, Brother Branham, he's just quoting them what was a tradition of man is what he's quoting. He's not endorsing that, but he's saying they had this is the idea. Put this stone. He said if it sticks to the person, you know, the person get well. If it don't, then they die from it or whatever. And Brother Branham was saying that. He said, no, wait, the worst bite I know of is from the devil.
Right?
Just lay against this stone, this revelation of the word, just lay there against that, is what he was saying, and that'll take care of it. Just stay with the rock,
right.
And that'll take care of it. Yeah. And so, but there's only one way, and that's God's word. And that's the thing, we've got to, this end time message has come to make us totally, completely, in every aspect as deep as needs to be, to understand what is Christ, what is word, and what is not. Don't worry, God sent a message to do it. It's not something you got to figure out. You just stay with his word and listen to his word, and his word will tutor you and bring you to the place where you understand these little things that's contrary.
Right.
Because it's the little foxes that spoil the vines. You've heard it many times. Now, how much if I had a glass of milk and I put just a little bit, just a drop of cyanide, would you drink it? No, you would not drink it. You see what I'm saying? It's little. Satan never comes and says, I'm here to destroy you. He comes through subtlety. He's a subtle beast to come in and not alarm you and say, well, this is okay. He can slowly put a little bit of poison in your drink every day, just a little bit every day, trying to kill you. And that's exactly what he'll do if you let him do that. We see it. The churches and movements, they drift. You know, even hopefully not ourselves, you know, but maybe at some point at some time and early in our Christian life, we stood for something and now we don't.
Right.
See? That's because we're drifting.
Right.
And you don't want to drift.
No.
God's word is an anchor.
Right.
God's word is an absolute. And so, if someone comes along with another way, tries to present another way, we know that's an enemy. It's an enemy to God. Because there's no need for any other way. This is sufficient.
Right.
So if they come along with something else, you know it's an enemy to God. They have a modified way or updated way, whatever they say. It's a false hope. It's a lie. It's a distraction. Pulling away from the omnipotence and omniscience of God. Because He and He alone provided a way to save us.
Right.
He's the only healer, only savior. Right? Those attributes of His can express down through lives that are submitted to Him. But He's the only source of those things. And because of that, then, here's my take on it, because He's the only one that he's the only one that should receive any kind of recognition as having such. Right? So nobody come on, all these other religions, anything come along and say, oh yeah, but here's a way to, no. Because they don't have the characteristics that he does. And not only that, but just simply because they're not providing a way. Because there is no other way.
Right.
It's a lie. So, what if someone comes up with a different way and they say, I'm going to illustrate this. So that's it, right? What if somebody comes up with another way and says, this, what I'm presenting you is that, right? Well, if this is that, why does it look different than that? If it is that, it'll be exactly that. But why would it be different? So you know that if somebody's coming up with something else, it can't be right.
Right.
It all has to go. This is what the whole end time message movement was, to bring the bride of Christ right back to that and that alone. To call her out of every form of this that is in the earth. Every form of this. Even in its very subtle forms. Little bitty poison, pieces of poison, to call us out of those things back to that word, because that's all we need.
Right.
But it can't be mixed. It can't be mixed with something else. Somebody comes along and says, well, it really doesn't matter. God will accept anyway as long as we're sincere. Have you ever heard that? Well, the Bible doesn't say that.
Right.
So this is not that.
Right.
Right?
Right.
This is not that.
Right.
Well, so we can all, we can all spot that one miles away. We can. We can probably spot all these miles away. I mean, he's heard this one. It doesn't matter, because God looks on the heart. He knows your heart. You're exactly right. He knows your heart.
Right.
And he knows that what's in the heart is the control tower. Right. And so what you live and you manifest out in your flesh is because what's in you.
Right.
And he judges you by what's in you.
Yeah.
Right.
Right? That's right. Yeah. Their own words will condemn them.
Right.
He does. He looks on your heart. He's got blood to take care of your mistakes, but he looks at what spirit's in you, living in you and motivating you. So we see that, we know that. But here's the thing, through subtlety we can find out sometimes that in our own message walk that we have things in our life that this is exactly what's happening. Well, we're not dealing with things maybe that the Holy Spirit is dealing with us on. Maybe this one here, if you listen to the message. Maybe he says, well, that was the word of God, but now we have the authority to change that. We're the church. We're the authority. We're the people now. And so we can say it's this way. And God will honor this. And all that's old and that's outdated. That was just for the apostles. Right? That was just scaffold work. The book of Acts was just scaffold work. Right? So if anybody comes up with anything other than that, it's an enemy.
Right.
It's death in it. Because it's got to be that.
Yeah.
Not something else. Nobody has the authority. Do you know what the word authority comes from? I looked it up this morning because just in my, hey, that's from author. Authority, author. I looked it up. Yeah, it's from the Creator. And so here's the concept that you can look it up and see. The concept is that only the Creator, only the one who sourced something has a right to change it. Right? If I write a book and somebody else comes along, and as long as they're absolutely word for word the same, well, then it's my book. But if they change one thing in it, it's no longer my book. Now it's theirs. Right? They can't change what I've said. They can make their own version of it, and it makes it their version. But I'm the only one that has the authority to come along and say, this is what I wrote, but I can change it. I'm going to change it now. I'm going to revise it now. Right? But with God, he doesn't have to revise.
Right.
No one has the authority to change God's word but God. And God doesn't have to, because there's only one way. He did it right to begin with. He doesn't have to pull back away from it and go, I made a mistake, like we would. He doesn't have to.
Right.
So to have authority, you have to be the author of it. And so these churches and these systems and individuals, if they, well, you know, I don't think it really means that. It doesn't matter. That's your book. It's not God's book. God has, he has truth, and he has a Holy Spirit that will vindicate that truth if we just listen to him and let him teach us. I hate to see people who, you know, that they don't have the experience in something, and they, and you know that they could benefit from somebody who's been around and seen it, and they just refuse to listen, and they got to go down a hard road. It's just, it's sad to watch.
Right.
And it's the way it is with people. So to be able to change it. So when somebody comes along and they change it, that's their book. They can edit it all they want. They can change their doctrine every 10 years. They can change it and make Mary a goddess or whatever. Because that's their doctrine.
Right.
But brother, sister, you can't change God's word.
Right.
He's the only one that can do that. Listen, that's why I say we can't give life, and therefore we shouldn't be able to take it. Right?
Right.
That's right. You cannot take something you can't give. You understand what I'm saying? It's in God's economy. He's a creator. And it's his word. And he's the only one that can change it. And he doesn't have to. He's not going to. Right? So we understand that. Let every man's word be alive and God's be true. And so the world is full. The world is full of all variations, all these people with all these variations and their own ideas and whatever, complete movements, complete church systems for centuries. It's all, you know, a modified form or their own version of that. You know, I don't have a problem with books, men who have commentary on the Bible. As long as their commentary doesn't change the Bible.
Right.
Right? I don't have a problem with traditions of men. Right? Hope you don't misunderstand me. The problem I have is the traditions of men that make the Word of God of none effect.
Right?
Right? That's the thing that we, that they're in through subtlety, so through being subtle, that it moves and works and it's got something in behind the scenes. It's taken away from the word. It's taken away from the character and the credentials of God and making it look like, well, there's another way that you really don't have to have the Holy Ghost. You can have it some other way. And it's a lie. Oh, your doctor will heal you. No, he won't. There's only one healing. He'll assist. Right? And we could go on and on and on. It's all stuff that's in the message and read in the Bible. But this world is full of all these people, and it's just their own variation. So it's their own word. This is why. I mean, just, you know, when there's something just as plain as can be, but people, religious people, just can't accept it. You know there's an anointing and a spirit on them that's forcing them and holding them in that direction. When you can go to history itself, and this nowadays there's no excuse. You can go to history itself and show you encyclopedia on top of encyclopedia on top of encyclopedia. We'll tell you that it's a Catholic church that started that baptism in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost.
Right.
It will tell you. It will tell you. Hey, church did not baptize in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost.
Right.
It will tell you that. But yet, people come along and they just won't change. My point in that is, hey, that's the Catholic Church's word. That's their Bible. They can change it all they want, but it's not God's word.
Right.
So if it's not God's word, then it's not, we're not going to make it through something else other than his word, because that's it. So if something else has rose up that's not that, it's a lie. And how do you know? Because it deviates from the word.
Right.
So they've got their word. They can preach it all they want. They can change it all they want. They can claim whatever they want because it's their book. But it's not God's book. Man, so the world is full of those things. Because this was what Satan set out to do. To be worshipped. To take the place of God in the hearts of people. His scripture said he had sat in the throne of God, calling himself, showing that himself that he is God. What is the throne of God? Your heart. Right? And Satan, what if he can get people to believe something other than that, the word? Then Satan sits on the throne of that heart, because that's a different word. And they have the authority over that word because it's there. They're the author of that word. Right? But there's only one author of the word of God. I want this to really, I want you to go home with remembering this. We're coming down to the wire. We can't afford to not understand and to move spiritually into the victory that this comes to us by knowing these things. And it's more than intellectual knowledge, you understand. It's a life, but the Holy Spirit will lead you to this full understanding of what is God's word, what matters, and what doesn't matter. If there is, you know, I'm not going to tell you there's anything in there that doesn't matter. Right? Because these things matter. Remember, he divvies out his word for the day. We understand that. So the world is full of it. That's what Satan's work has been. And so that's why God had to send a message to call us out. That whole entire featured work. Remember, it's not the wicked of the world. We know that. But it's a religious system where Satan went to trick people. He doesn't trick anybody but all those people out there in the world that's living like devils, right? But it's those who are religious. So he put his emphasis on that so he could act like Christ, act like the Holy Spirit. But he's not. And so that's why God sent the message. So because we were born in all this, born in this influence of all this system of the harlot system and her daughters. And so he had to send a message to say, come out of her, my people. Come out of this. So that you don't receive of the plagues that's coming upon her. I'm not going to get into it today, but Lord willing, if the Lord allows it, does it change it? Next week, I'll show you just exactly how serious it is. It's just unquestionable what's going on. So, he called us out of Babylon and out of the daughters, because they're both judged. So as a minister of the gospel, when that's laying there, and not just, let me tell you that I've got it open to Malachi chapter 4. Could put it to Luke 17:30, Revelation 10:7. Any of those would work. But that's it for our day. God has provided a way for our day. Right? He's provided a way for our day. And he has sent a ministry and recorded it and made it so that there's evidences, even though that the believer doesn't have that, but he's helped us. Double grace poured out, grace poured out, and more grace to help us. So now we can hear personal testimonies, and we can see magazines, and we can read testimonies and experience these things and know God has visited this generation to call us out of these things and had a ministry that proved it and showed it and demonstrated. So we know by his grace and his mercy. So as a minister of the gospel that he's done this, what would you expect a minister to do if he was really a honest, Holy Ghost filled minister of the gospel? What do you expect him to do with that? Do you expect him to come up with this? Or do you expect him to stay with that?
Right.
And we all would say, oh, we'll stay with that. Mm-hmm. Right? And that's what a good minister of the gospel is trying to do. That's what Brother Daniel tries to do. That's what I try to do. And all across the message. To stay away from these things. Now, there's a lot of those. I could print out a lot more pages there and get into fine details of things that I know would land in our laps.
Right.
And the greatest thing is that you, by revelation, can understand how Satan is still moving in your life that's got you tricked and you're not straightened out just yet. But let the Word wash you from these things of this world. That's what this whole message process is to wash us, get us ready, dress us. Or for us to dress ourselves. You know, we talk about the bride. She made herself ready. She dressed herself. Would you know what she does before she dresses? She cleans up. You imagine a bride that hadn't had a bath for about a week or two and she's going to go to her wedding? No. We want to appear worthy of this one who has called us to be his bride. As a minister of the gospel, you would expect us. How would you expect, as a watchman on the wall, how would you expect a watchman on the wall to deal with things that he sees and knows that it's contrary to that? What do you want him to do with that? Say, well, I know people down there in the streets of the city, I'm up here and I see that, but I know they don't agree with it. I'll just leave it alone. Is that what we want? No, you want some. You don't want someone who, you don't want a people who heap to yourself teachers having itchy ears.
Right.
Right? You want someone who'll be a watchman and say, I'm sorry, you might create a campaign against me, whatever, but I got to tell you that I'm looking at something and it is not that. And that's why I've got my life on the line for that. Because I want you to know. And so, or as a brother, or as a friend, you imagine how Brother Daniel, I would feel. And I don't mean to drag you in, but I feel like that you feel the same way I do. Could you imagine how we would feel that we'd get to the end of our days and see you miss it because of something we didn't tell you? Do you know how that would make us feel? First of all, I don't think we would make it. Because we're responsible. Right? We are responsible. So always remember that. When sometimes it feels like, oh, that's hard, that's such hard preaching or whatever, just remember, we're responsible. We're not up here putting our lives on the line to lie to you. We're just saying, it. Go back to the Word, and if just look it over, you know, look it over and check it out. Really make sure it's not, you know, a bone, like Brother Brandon said, the chicken. Make sure it's not bone that you're throwing out, because it might be chicken or cherry pie. Don't, you know, throw out the seed, okay. But if it's pie, if it's the Word, if it's been vindicated, it's been demonstrated, as hard as it may sound and feel, if it's been shown and vindicated, and even like if you're having trouble with serpents eating, like I mentioned the other night about the court case that came out right while all that was going on, to show serpent seed, to show yes. When it's all been vindicated, or just look at it and make sure that whatever it is that's trying to motivate us to not believe that, make sure that what you're trying to throw out isn't part of that.
Right?
And be honest with ourselves that if we know we're slacking off in our own life and we don't have much of a prayer life, and then we're gonna give our opinion, and what happens is you'll be providing something else out here that's not that. And this is something we can all do. We've all had to update and say, you know what, I had an idea that was wrong. And you look back and realize why it was wrong and how you got to the, because you wasn't being led by the Holy Spirit according to His Word. Maybe an influence from somebody else or something like that. Amen. So, you know, for a minister to keep silent with these things when he can see it, when he sees this, when he, you know, the may say, hey, when she recognizes the two spirits in the framework of church, right? And by God's Spirit withstand, you know the quote, when a minister can see that other spirit moving in there, ever so subtle, he got to say something. Or he is forsaking his very calling.
Right.
That's right. The very purpose. I don't want to stand there and say, yeah, Lord, I knew and I didn't tell him. I don't want to do that.
Right.
And I know Brother Daniel doesn't either. No. I'm not trying to plug for us, but I will tell you, and I don't know, I trust that they're all over the message like this, but you have a couple of very sincere brothers here to speak to you the Word of God. To point to this. And if something else is trying to say something and it's not that, you be very careful with that. Very careful with that. Amen. So, even very subtle forms, it is pulling away from God's provided way, especially for our day. There is a provided way to give us body change in this day.
Amen.
And it will take every word of God for this day, the portion of God's word that it takes to give us body change, it will take us receiving that. There's no portion we can throw out. There is a portion of God's word to get to the place where we do recognize that other spirit in the framework and not be influenced by it. It'll take every portion of God's word for that, for it to do that in our walk.
Right.
We can't throw stuff out. We can't. It's not like a buffet. I'll skip the salad bar. I like meat and potatoes. Well, you know what? That's not the best thing in the world, right? You need some. But you understand, the Word of God is well-rounded.
Yeah.
It's a seven-course meal. It's got everything you need, all the nutrients. We can't pick and choose. It will take every portion of that Word to perform what it is promised to perform in this day. And so, if it's causing a man to look at something else or depend on something else than God's provided way, then that's a problem. And the problem is so many people in their own walk, they're compromising, but they don't think that what they're doing is this right here. They want to fool themselves and say, "Well, this is what I'm doing, this right here." But in all reality, they're doing something else.
Right.
And that's the thing. Even in such small places, because it starts out small, it takes us down a road to the next thing you know, it's totally different than what it started out to be.
Right.
So, you know, this harsh, people may call it harsh message, this harsh preaching or whatever, as people might say, you know what, for the bride, it's not harsh. It's not bondage. But this is not to be dictators.
No.
Not to be dictators at all. But it is to inform you, to point to you, to be as, there's a reason why God put a fivefold ministry. It is to do what we're told to do. But ultimately, it comes down to the Holy Spirit in your walk to amen what the ministry and what the word is saying. I won't say what the ministry, because the ministry will be saying word. But I'll say this, if the ministry is not on the word, the Holy Spirit to show you that it's not. Right? The scripture says, you have no need that a man teach you, but that same anointing, it can teach you, right? He's not telling you don't listen to your preachers, but he's telling you the Holy Spirit will be your teacher. He is, we know he is our tutor. He will teach you, and he will tell you when you read a scripture and it jumps off the pages, he's the one that's causing it to jump off the pages to you.
Right.
We don't even know how to pray properly. Scripture said so.
Right.
But he does.
Right.
There cannot be enough emphasis on the relationship of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost in our lives to do everything.
Right?
Because he does it. But it's him that causes it to jump off the pages. It's him that causes you to say, hey, man, Brother Tony or Brother Daniel. It's him.
Right.
And we want to embrace that. And so it'd be him to say, yeah, here's a place where you need to tighten your belt. You need to change some things about how you're doing things. Get away from these things or whatever it is that the Lord will be dealing with you on. It's not to be dictators, but to present it out there so the Holy Spirit can say, amen, that's right, brother. That's right. And to see if you're willing to truly let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you. Because if you really will let him lead you and guide you, when you might be doing something that you, for your whole life you've done, maybe from a previous church system that taught you, and you're doing it, but the Holy Spirit, if he's truly got that ability to lead you and guide you, then he'll send someone and he'll preach, and you'll hear that, and the Holy Spirit will say, yep, that's right, and you'll change.
Right.
Or you're not surrendered. You'll change. Amen. The problem is so many people don't know. They don't think they're in violation. But that's why you want to have a walk with the Lord so he can bring this. He will make this. He's not going to send this in time message to us and then just not point to it. The Holy Ghost knows his own word. And he knows his own message for the day. And that's what he'll emphasize in your life, because he wants you successful, and he knows the only way you can be successful is for that word to come to you and you to return back to the things of God's word. So like I said, it's not to be a dictator, but to inform you so that the Holy Spirit can lead you and guide you into the truth as you are exposed to it. Sure, the Holy Ghost can give you a vision and make you clearly understand everything in the Bible, but has he done it? No, but he has sent ministers your way to preach this gospel.
Yeah.
Right? And it's all God's program. Amen. Yeah. The Holy Ghost knows his own word, and he will always point to his own word.
Right.
What good would it do the Holy Ghost to tell you a previous day that's not going to do you any good now? Tell you to build an ark. What's that going to do for your body change? It's not. Right? But there is a word sufficient for this day. Amen. He'll always point to that word for his day. Why? Why would he point to the word for this day? Because that's the only word given by God to change you in this day. That's why. He can't point to something else. He has to point to the original spoken word, because that's what will change you. And so, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, You're making what you believe exclusive. You're making yourself. They told Jesus, who do you make yourself? But here's the thing. The word of God is exclusive. There is no life outside of it.
Right.
That's just it.
Yeah.
Right? Coca-Cola is not water.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Water is water.
Yeah.
It's exclusive.
Right.
Now you put something else in it, now it's something different.
Might
have some water in it, but something else. But see what I'm saying? Purity. The purity of God's word. And so, the word of God is exclusive. And so, anyhow, people believe it and say, hey, you know, we're staying with the word. Well, it's you know, and if a man come along with his own doctrine, if he took some of that and he just added a little to it, now it's his own, it's his, and then if he said this was exclusive, that'd be wrong. Because no man has a right to do that, right? Because nobody else can create and come up with anything that's right. Because that's the only thing that's right.
Right.
So that's exclusive, and everything else would be wrong to make it exclusive. But that's exactly what the devil does. He wants to tell you, you got to believe this. You got to come to our church. You got to do this. You got to shout, or you got to run, or you got to speak in tongues, or you got to. What you got to do is stay with that word, and it'll produce in you everything it said in whatever variety he wants to.
Right.
Amen. That's what you see that. Dogmatic, like the one that's Pentecost, had such a truth, but yet, look what they did to it. right. So if a man tried to tell you, oh, you know, well, that'd be wrong, but God's word is exclusive. And so, as I said earlier, God is the authority. Man can't change it, but God is the authority of his word. And we can't afford to let something try and change it to something else. Amen. God has been so gracious to us in this day to take that word that was laying there and those mysteries that were laying there and all those things that was all jumbled up to come and clarify and make it all fit and vindicate it and tell us, there it is, dress yourself with it. Do you realize the magnitude of what he's done? What if he had not come in the day that he has today and done the things he's done today and we were still wondering, do we pray to the Father, to the Son, or to the Holy Ghost? You understand what I'm saying? If God had not done that, how far would we be from, you see? But God has been so faithful to come and open this word to us in this day and make it plain. And not just another man's word, but a vindicated ministry that had the mark of God on it. And we know, okay. And even if it had the mark of God on it, supernatural, if it was contrary to the word, we wouldn't listen to it. But on top of all that, it is in agreement with the word. It didn't deviate from the one. All it did was shone light on the word that was already there, and you could see it plainly.
Right.
And we are among a people who can look back and we can see the Old Testament declaring exactly what would happen in the New Testament and exactly what the outcome is going to be. And yet when we're over here and we know what the outcome is, and you got preachers telling you what the outcome is, people balk at it. But God has shown us clearly what's happening. And he's shown us what truth is. And we can see it in the natural types. And we're among a special people on this earth because he has. And because the rest of the world don't want to look at all this truth and see it. But we do. So we're so thankful what God has done. Because if it's in his word, then it's required. And how faithful we are that he didn't leave it lay there, all covered up. But he came today and has made it clear to us and put a burning in our hearts and ministry in this day to stay with this truth. God has a bride. She's not going to go back like him others.
Right.
So just always remember, when Satan's trying to push at you and get you to compromise, he's trying to get you to do what the others did. But there is a bride in this day that's ordained of God not to be like the rest of them, not to be like Eve.
Yeah.
Yes, we've all been influenced by those things, but this message is calling us out of it.
Yeah.
So that we're not partakers. God doesn't want to burn us up like he has to burn harlots. Right? He doesn't want us going into bed of tribulation, period. He wants us, amen, by his side. How thankful we are to that. And so, if it's in his word, it's required. And that's why we're so happy that in this day he has came and done the things that he has done. And that's why he sent it. That's why God sent the message, is to do exactly what he's doing.
Right.
To have a people who's steady and sturdy and not falling for the tricks of the devil. And among their ranks is fruit, showing that there's keeping power to those who will hold on to it. And so I, for one, as a minister of the gospel of God, will always help me. I will never let Satan water this down in our midst. I just want you to know truth, because that's the only thing I'm going to point to. I am not a generator myself. All I can do is point to the things that have been said and has been done and has been vindicated. And like we've told you before, you know, that I think I heard Eugene Brock talking about this years ago about a shepherd of the sheep and sheep of the shepherd and a sheepdog or whatever. And he said, you know, that if the sheepdog he's going to make sure the sheep are taken to where he last saw the shepherd. So if there's a hill and that shepherd walks down around like that, and now that shepherd goes around the hill and the dog can't see it, but he knows that shepherd was there, he's going to do everything he can to get those sheep to go to that spot.
Right?
Right? And then when he sees, when the dog says, oh, now he's going to, he, everywhere he sees that shepherd pop his head up, that's where the dog is going to try and take the sheep to, where he last saw God move.
Right.
In a vindicated way. That's our job as ministry, to point you to this end time vindicated truth. Amen. May the Lord bless you for being attentive. We're getting out right about noon, maybe a couple of minutes after. Let's let the musicians come. We're so thankful that God didn't let us drift.
Amen.
Let's just bow our hearts to Him. Lord Jesus, how we love your word, Lord. We realize in ourselves we're nothing, but Lord, we're so happy to know that you have come down and you have placed your hand on our lives, called us out of sin, called us out of unbelief, called us out of false doctrines and teachings. Lord, you know what I came up through Pentecost, a system believing in women preachers and believing that your bride had to go through a bunch of tribulation and tongues was an evidence and you didn't have... Lord, you've seen all those things that you brought me through. And Lord, if it had not been for you, I would have went that way, because that's the way humans are. They want to go with whatever's around them. But Lord, you called us. You called me and you called these that are here today out of those things and called us into your presence, Lord. And we are thankful for that, Lord. We give honor and praise to you, Lord, because you are our healer. You are our guide. You are the one saving our families, our children, our grandchildren. Lord, it's you that's brought this message to us this day. Lord, we speak about your prophet, but we know, God, that it was you that did those things, or he could not have done anything other than just be a sinner. We're thankful, Lord, that you've lifted us up into your presence. We're asking, God, that you just help us to walk worthy of this call that you've given, to be that bride. Lord, I know it's hard. It's hard for this little bride. Maybe in the story Brother Brandon told about her standing there with her flowers and all the cousins making fun. I know it's hard, Lord, but how her heart felt when she heard those wheels turning in the sand. All that hardship went away then, Lord. And I ask, God, that you drop that into the hearts of your children today, Lord. Lord, that they would just remember they're standing there faithful, holding your word, believing, God, that shortly there might be, they claim, UFOs, they might be all these different things. Lord, I don't know. I know what I think that is right or wrong about these things, but there might be all these things causing people's hearts to fail for fear. And Lord, but I pray that your bride know that she's standing there holding your word, knowing that in the midst of all these scares and all these tactics of control by the enemy, trying to keep people underneath their thumb, that your bride will stand there and say, I'm trusting in his word. I ask, God, that you just drop that in their hearts, Lord, that it would burn more than anything else, that they know that they're staying with you in this hour, that they're a blessed people. We love you, Lord. Just pronounce this blessing on them in Jesus' name. scripture says that he sent his word and healed. That's what we're believing, is that God has spoken to us in this day, and he will. Everything that's wrong, he'll make it right.
Amen. 873.
He holds our every moment. Let me believe that.
Amen.
Let him do it. Pull yourself to the side. Put everything else out. All the screaming voices, all the stuff, the job, the pull all that, and just pull yourself down and say, Lord, you hold my moments, every one of them. Let me just come into your presence for a moment, Lord. Let me just feel the warm rays in your sunshine. And you know, when you're sick, sometimes I've been sick and I go outside just to get in the sun. It just feels so good. Just get into his presence, and in the presence of the Lord, and let his presence and his word bathe you, move over you, and he'll heal you. It's the same word that created you, right? Gave you all the things that you